Today I'll be preaching from the book of Genesis chapter 13 for the preaching of God's word. And I'll be reading today from verse 1 down to verse number 4. Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege that you have given us once again to gather in your house. We thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace. We're ever mindful of the fact that your mercies are new every morning. And even though we failed you many times, yet you've never failed us yet. And so I pray, dear Lord, as you speak to our hearts once again, that we would be mindful of who you are, that you're holy God, you're a matchless God, you're a good God. And may we give you the reverence, the respect, and have the fear of you, fear for you, for who you are. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth with power, and that you would speak by the mighty working of your Holy Spirit, that you will challenge our hearts to live lives in accordance with your will. Save some lost soul, stir the heart of every believer, and give me the words you'll have me to say today, and that these words will be precisely your words and not mine. Take full control. Have your divine way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You will be seated. My family had an old chest of drawers that was somewhat beaten up. The varnish was peeling off. It was scratched up. The drawers were not closing properly because the grooves were out of alignment. Knobs had fallen off. And as such, it was out of use and relegated to the garage. And for those of you who are here in the congregation, you can see on the monitors exactly the drawers, the chest of drawers that I am referring to at this very moment. And so it was out of use, out of commission, because of the dilapidated state in which it was. My wife had an idea as to how it could be restored. And so she gave some instructions to a carpenter. And in a very short period of time, after this dilapidated chest of drawers had been in that carpenter's possession, this previously unused piece of furniture was now renewed, and now it finds itself no longer unused in the garage, but in a very visible place in our home. I give you this illustration this morning, practically and, of course, visibly, because in a spiritual sense and otherwise in our lives, there are moments when we make commitments. Commitments to our spouse, to our family, to our church, to our careers, and to our country. And over a period of time, due to pressures, difficulties, challenges, the commitment that we have made gets worn. beaten up, scratched up. That commitment no longer looks appealing as it did when it was first made. As a matter of fact, things can get so bad that the commitment that we had made, it is even despised. It gets moved, so to speak, from a prominent place in our life to a place of unimportance. It loses its significance and value. And at that point, we can make a choice to leave things as they are, which would lead to further deterioration, or we can decide to incorporate a restoration or a renewal plan. For all of the commitments that we make in life, whether it's to our spouse, to our children, to our family, to our church, let me say unreservedly that there is no commitment more important than a commitment to Almighty God. And oftentimes, sadly, this commitment gets worn. It gets old. It gets beaten up. It gets scratched up. And when it does, it negatively affects every other commitment that we have made. You see, my friend, our commitment to Almighty God provides the proper perspective and motivation for the other commitments that we should have in our life. Our commitment to God helps us to know what we should be committed to. And it gives us the desire and the ability to renew the commitments that need renewal. We are here in this message series entitled, Lead Me, Lord. And we are observing the life of Abraham on his journey of faith in walking with God. And in our text in Genesis chapter 13, Abraham was at a place where renewal of his commitment to God needed to take place. We saw in chapter 12 in the latter verses that Abraham had failed. He had failed in Egypt. But thank God that Abraham did not want to stay where he was. So he took some very definitive action, and this definitive action was to renew his commitment to God. And so this morning I want us to examine in our text in chapter 13 what I call a renewal of commitment. A renewal of commitment. How many of you know it's not about whether you failed or whether you've fallen, but it's about whether you decide to get up, whether you decide to stay there. And thank God that Abraham did not stay where he found himself in Genesis chapter 12. And we find in chapter 13, Abraham having some steps taken, some definitive action to be able to renew his commitment with Almighty God. Now I want you to notice and observe with me, first of all, in verse number 1, that if you and I are going to renew our commitment with God, understand that first and foremost, it has to begin with a purposeful decision. A purposeful decision. Now observe with me what verse number 1 says. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Now, if you notice, no, Abraham decided that, listen, I'm going to renew my commitment with God, but I'm going to be very purposeful and intentional about it. Notice the Bible says that he and his wife and what? What's the word there? All that he had. Now, it's important that we understand some things about this word commitment. Notice a commitment by its very nature is just that. You say, Pastor, what is that? You're speaking what's very obvious. And I'm simply saying this to us, that a commitment is a what? A commitment. You say, that's real deep. Well, you see, why you come to Shiloh, you get deep stuff. A commitment has to be a commitment. The definition of commitment is the act of committing, pledging, engaging oneself. In other words, a commitment is a pledge, a dedication. It's a sign of allegiance. So in other words, to renew a commitment means to renew a pledge, to renew one's dedication, to renew one's allegiance. So what I'm simply saying this morning, by way of renewing a commitment, the very definition of the word commitment implies that it must be a purposeful decision. In other words, it makes no sense to say I'm renewing a commitment that is not sincere from the heart. You see, Abraham was on his way to renew his commitment based on where he had found himself in Egypt. And guess what? He was purposeful about it. There was no half-heartedness. There was no apathy. He was not nonchalant. There was no don't care approach. And you see, my friend, to have a mindset, we must have a mindset to make a renewal of a commitment a determined decision. If it's not determined, if it's not purposeful, it makes no sense. Because that's what the very definition of a commitment is. Notice, my friend, what Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 says. Then thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With what? Is it some segment? Some section? He says, love the Lord thy God with what? All thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In other words, when it comes to renewing a commitment with Almighty God, God wants all. And all we know means, well, we're getting some definitions here this morning that just are repeating this very same word. All means all. And so when it comes to renewing a commitment with Almighty God, there has to be from the very get-go a sense of determination, a sense of purpose that comes and originates in the heart. My heart must be engaged. And so from the very beginning, we notice when Abraham left Egypt, he says, I'm leaving Egypt, and listen, everything I have is coming with me. Everyone who's with me, you're coming with me. Because we're serious about this. A very purposeful decision. Now notice secondly, in verse number 2, notice Abraham's prosperity, the prosperity displayed. Now the Bible says in verse number 2, and Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And we find this verse inserted here, of course, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And here's what this brings to my realization and should bring to our understanding as well. That God is not against us having things. You know, God is able to bless. God owns everything. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And here's what we must understand about things and the things that we experience and the things that we have here on this life on earth, that God is not worried about the things that we have, but God is concerned about where these things fall on our priority list in relation to Him. That's the crux of the issue. That is why Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, but seek ye what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God is simply saying to us, I have no problem with things. As a matter of fact, if you put me first, I'll give you the things. Proving I got no problem with things. But the idea is, where do I fall on the list? I do not accept second place. I do not accept third place. After all, if I didn't accept second, well, you can't expect me to accept third. So God says, when it comes to me, I must be number one. I must be first place. And here's what happens to us when it comes to the matter of things. We get tripped up. Because when we have things, they tend to begin to supersede the place that God ought to have in our lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19 and notice what the Bible says there. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 23 to 26. Notice what Jesus said, speaking to this tendency that we have, this weakness when it comes to things. Verse 23 of Matthew chapter 19, he says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." Notice that this verse is just after he had spoken to this rich young ruler. He says in verse number 24, "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are what?" Jesus never said that a rich man can't enter heaven. He said it's often difficult because the things take the place of Almighty God. But notice back in our text in Genesis chapter 13, not only have we observed the prosperity displayed, but notice verse number 3, and very importantly, as Abraham was on his way to renewing his commitment with God, notice a renewal of a commitment to God involves a particular direction. A particular direction. Notice verse number 3, the Bible says, "And he," speaking of Abram, "went on his journeys from the south, even to," where? "Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and here." So here is Abraham, think with me, he is in Egypt, and he has this purposeful decision to renew his commitment with God. And he takes a particular path on a specific journey to get where he knows he's going to renew this commitment. The Bible refers to this place as Bethel. And here's what we must understand about renewing a commitment with God. That renewing a commitment with God is going to take you and me on a particular path going in a particular direction. In other words, a renewal of a commitment to God is not a random journey. It is not luck. You see, my friend, when Abram left Egypt, he pointed his face towards a particular direction, and watch this, he started moving in that direction. A particular direction goes right along with a purposeful decision. Here's what we must understand, and this is why being purposeful is so important. When you are purposeful in your decision, you're going to be particular in your direction. If you're not purposeful, you're going to end up being random. You're going to end up going here and there and everywhere. This is not the mindset of Abraham. Abraham was very particular. Why? Because he was purposeful. Why? He wanted to get to that place of renewal as quickly as possible. Now, I'm here in this congregation. And I'm somewhere, let's say, halfway down this aisle. And I want to get to this door here on my left. And I want to get there as quickly as possible. What path should I take? I should take the path that goes directly there. Should I not? Now, what happens oftentimes in our lives, if I'm not purposeful. I say I want to get there, but I'm not too serious about it. Rather than going directly to there to get me there as quickly as possible because I'm purposeful, here's what I sometimes do. Not too serious about it, but I'm not purposeful. I say I want to get there, but here's what I do. I go in all kinds of other directions. I'm going there, but I'm over. I'm going here. Somehow I'm going further away than where I'm supposed to end up. I'm going by the door, but somehow I find myself over here. And I'm going by the door, but no. Somehow I'm not there. I haven't reached there yet. As a matter of fact, you know what? Let me take a detour here. Really, you know, and I'm even obstructing other things that I shouldn't be obstructing. I'm still going by the door, but I haven't gotten there yet. We'll reach sometime soon, but I'm not there yet. You know, I'm going. You know what? Let me go back here. I'm real purposeful, man. You can't see my heart. I really want to get there, but isn't that how we do? My friend, if you're purposeful, you're going to go straight there as quickly as possible. Amen? Amen? Listen, Abraham wanted to get to this place of renewal, and he's determined, I'm heading my face there, and I'm going straight there. Here's something we must understand about this purposeful decision that leads to a particular direction. Getting to a place of renewal with God has some requirements along with it. So when I get to this door, and inside of this door, behind this door, is my place of renewal and commitment with God. Now in order to open this door, I have to do what? I have to turn the knob, correct? Just because I get to the door does not mean I'm going to get inside. Amen? If I want to get inside, I got to turn the knob, put my hand on the knob, turn it, and open the door. In order to have a renewal of a commitment with Almighty God, you know what the knob of the door that we must turn and open? It is the knob of repentance. So if I don't, if I get to the door, and I'm not willing to turn the knob of repentance, my friend, renewal of commitment with God will not happen. And so Abraham determined that I'm going to get to where I need to get with Almighty God. You see, my friend, there is no way to renew a commitment with God without turning my direction around. So Abraham determined that I'm going to get to this place of renewal. You see, my friend, repentance is so key. Because here's something I want to teach us about repentance this morning. That repentance says that I am so annoyed. I'm so frustrated. I'm even so angry about my direction that I do not want to be going that way anymore. So what's the result? Change. You see, that is why repentance is so key. Because repentance says, I am fed up. I am annoyed. I don't want to go in that direction. So what do I do? If I don't want to go in that direction, what do? I do what? I turn. My friend, repentance is an attitude of the heart that says, I am going to turn. If there is no turning, then there is no changing. Because it requires a change of direction. And it's a change that, let's get this, that you and I, if we are serious about it, it's one that we want to make. Amen? Repentance is heart business. Here's something that we must understand. And listen, I have to examine myself when it comes to this. For every one of us, for every single one of us. Because here's what happens sometimes. When it comes to repentance. Or what we call repentance. True repentance is not upset with the change. Because true repentance recognizes that not changing is bad and changing is good. You with me? So if I make a change, if I'm going on the wrong direction and I truly repent from the heart and remember, keep, stay with me, it's the wrong direction and I want to turn, as much as it would have been difficult to turn, that when I turn, I am now happy because I'm heading in the right direction. Are you with me? So when I repent, I'm actually happy that I've made the change, because I'm changing from something bad to something good. And so repentance and a renewal of a commitment with God requires a particular direction. It's very specific. Here, Abraham was in Egypt, and he needed to get out of Egypt and get to a particular place. He knew that there was a particular path. And thank God, he took it. But notice, fourthly this morning, also in verse number 3, observe with me the priority demonstrated. You say, where is the priority? I love the fact that the Bible says, he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel. And look at the next part of the verse. Unto the what? Place where his tent had been at the beginning. You know what I love about Abraham? He started on this journey, and it was such a priority, he did not stop until he got where he needed to get. So his priority was determined, because he got to the place where he had sweet communion with God. You see, my friend, because he was headed in the right direction and he was persistent, eventually he got where he needed to go. What had taken place in his heart was manifested in the steps and the continuity that allowed him to get back to Bethel. Here's something that we must understand about a commitment to God. It requires more than words. It requires more than even coming to the altar. It requires a heart change and godly sorrow that wants change so badly that we say to ourselves, like that song that we sing, I can't go back. I won't go back to the way it used to be. That's priority, my friend. And Abraham demonstrated this in the fact that he left Egypt and he kept going until he got back to that place of renewal. Notice with me in verse number 4, the personal devotion. The Bible says in verse number 4, unto the place of the what? The altar which he had made there at the first. Notice Abraham got back to the vicinity. He got back to Bethel. He got back to this place between Bethel and Hai. But he was so determined, so purposeful, so particular in his determination that he got back to a specific spot of an altar. Why? Because the altar was a place of surrender. It was a place of yielding. It was a place of confession. It was a place of adoration. It was a place of thanksgiving to God. That is why Abram was concerned with his devotion to God. We know that God in his nature and his character is omnipresent, meaning that he is everywhere at the same time. But you ever ask yourself, how can God be omniscient, which we know he is, but yet there are times in our lives where, spiritually speaking, we feel so far from God? Ever been there? Ever feel like God was so distant? That is why we must emphasize and focus on not a superficial relationship with God, but one that involves personal devotion. I say this all the time because it's true, that dealing with God requires functioning with him at a heart level. God knows everything that's happening inside of us. There's nothing hidden from him. He knows every thought, every emotion, every intention. He knows the thoughts that exist that should not be there. He knows when there is hatred. He knows when there's malice. He knows when there's strife. He knows when there's unforgiveness. He knows when there's selfishness and pride. He knows when there's bitterness, when there's resentment and envy. He knows when there's a desire for supremacy. And you see, my friend, in order to have devotion with him, God points out the things that would hinder a close walk with him. And that is why personal devotion has to be personal. Because God is the one who has to transform the heart. God is the one who has to fix the heart. In fact, God is the one who must examine our hearts. And that is why Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That's, my friend, why in order to renew a commitment with God, it must engage and involve personal devotion. In other words, we must get to the place where we are willing to commune with God. What do I mean by commune? Talk to God. Be willing to hear what he's saying to us. If there is no communion, if there is no devotion, my friend, there will be no renewal of commitment. He needed to be, not just physically, but spiritually. Notice the Bible says, "And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord." You see, my friend, our hearts are not going to change unless God can speak to us. We can speak to him in sincerity. And then he alone is the one who is able to transform our hearts and thus our lives. You see, when a patient goes to a surgeon with a disease, with a problem, with an issue that requires the surgeon's expertise, that patient, in order to be healed and recovered, must submit to the process. The patient has to sign papers, to lay on the bed, has to more than likely receive anesthesia, and let the physician operate. There's complete dependence on the surgeon to do what needs to be done so that healing can take place. You see, my friend, without dependence, without that willingness to submit, the patient will remain in the state that he or she came. That is precisely what the psalmist David was appealing to. In Psalm 139 and verse 1, number 23 to 24, when he said to God, "Search me, O God." In other words, he was saying to God, "God, I don't even have the capacity or the ability to diagnose myself. I need you to do your assessment. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, my friend, there must be a willingness to let God search us. We can't search ourselves. When we search ourselves, guess what we see? Everything is good. And even if everything is not good, if it's not good, it's okay how it is. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, in two different verses, essentially, all the ways of a man are what? Clean in what? His own eyes. But when God searches us, great things happen. Because when we let God search us, we demonstrate faith in his ability to bring about the change. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please God. He that cometh must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What a tremendous lesson in the life of Abraham. A great man of faith. One who is not even known for, in large part at all, for his slip-up in chapter 12. But he's known as a man who walked with God, a man of faith. Why? Because when he slipped, when he fell, he was purposeful that I got to get back to that place with God, that place of sweet communion, that place of sweet dependence, that place of reliance, that place where God and I were having sweet devotion and sweet communion. And he was purposeful and particular about getting back to such a place. Renewal of commitment. Has your commitment to God gotten worn? Is it scratched up? Is it in a place where it's no longer desirable? God says, I'm calling on you. Let's engage in a restoration plan. Let's embark on a renewal plan that will make that commitment desirable, valuable again, in a place where it can impact not just our lives, but the lives of those around us. I'm so glad that God is a God of restoration. Amen. The entire plan of God, from the time man fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, God has been effecting and carrying out his restoration plan. It begins, first of all, with salvation. And after salvation, it continues with progressive sanctification. There's a song we would have sung for many years. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. You know what that song did not say? Which oftentimes need to be said? We need to be willing to let God work on us. And God is more than willing to do just that. Wherever you are on your level of commitment, is it time for renewal? Is it time for some restoration? Whatever it is, recognize that God is a God who's more than willing to do that for his honor and for his glory, and so that our lives can reflect that glory and others can see that they as well can be restored and renewed.